Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with the goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. It's an honor for me to host this show, Let's Face the Issues, on behalf of Dr. Youngblood, who I would ask you, audience, to please pray for Dr. Youngblood and his family. I've been on the show numerous times here recently and have asked you to pray for his son's recovery. He was placed in a hospital and treated for COVID-19, and unfortunately, he passed away about a week ago. And the family needs your prayers now. Please pray for Dr. Youngblood and his son and their families as they go through this difficult time right now. I'm Mike Hill, sitting in for Dr. Youngblood. I'm from the Pensacola, Florida area. I'm a small business owner, have owned an insurance and financial services agency for 31 years now. Prior to that, I was active duty in the Air Force after graduating from the Air Force Academy. I served in the Florida State House of Representatives for 5 years, representing District 1 and District 2 here in a panhandle. And just before the break, we were talking about how politicians are actually coming for you. They are coming after you with this crazy tax and spend plan that they have, which right now they're having difficulty passing. Thank goodness. Their so-called $3.5 trillion plan is actually costing more than $5 trillion. And what that would mean to each household in terms of how you would have to pay for it is unthinkable. Now they're talking about, we'll negotiate a lesser amount. We'll make it only $1.5 trillion, maybe only $2 trillion. If they make it $2 trillion, that means it's actually going to cost like $4 trillion. Still way too much money. I would say instead, why don't you just leave us alone? Don't spend any of that money. Let us spend our own money. We can do it ourselves. We don't need you to come in and spend all this massive amount of money you call infrastructure, which we can do on our own. We can do it within the current budget that we have, which, by the way, is already bloated and overspending. So why are they going to be coming after you? I'll tell you why. As we said before the top of the hour, the federal government currently taxes the middle classes at rates less than half of what it taxes the 1%. So politicians see the middle class as a largely untapped revenue source. That's right. They're going to come after you to pay for this crazy spending. Okay, this is I'm reading from an article now out of the American Institute for Economic Research. Anthony Davies is the author of this. He wrote it October 4th. And the article goes on to say, what about higher education? The typical four-year college graduate earns over 60% more than a typical worker with only a high school graduation. Currently, the median difference is over $500 per week. Over a 40-year career, that wage difference adds up to more than $1 million. Should that be taxed? According to Joe Biden, it should. That is what he calls unrealized capital gains. Unrealized capital gains means that you haven't earned it yet. It has simply been invested. So you buy a house, you own some stock, the house goes up in value. They want to tax it, even though you haven't sold your house. That's what an unrealized capital gains is. You have a 401k, you have an IRA, it goes up in value. You haven't sold any of it and taken that out, but just because it went up in value, they want to tax that. That's how the left, that's how Democrats work. And that's why we must, ladies and gentlemen, this next election cycle coming up in 2022, you must make sure that you vote for conservative constitutional Republicans. Conservative constitutional Republicans. What I mean by that is they are conservative in their fiscal policy. They follow the Constitution. They understand their oath of office and what it means to support, protect, and defend the Constitution, and they stand by it. Just because they say that they're Republicans doesn't mean that they are conservative constitutionalists. You must vet them properly. Vet them and ask them about their oath of office. What does that mean? Have you read the Constitution? Most of them haven't even read it. Ask them if you've read the Constitution. You're going to be saying an oath to support, protect, and defend it. You should at least be able to understand what's there and read it. If you haven't read it since you've been in the eighth grade and you're running for office, I think that unqualifies you. You need to know what the Constitution says, both the U.S. Constitution and your state constitution. So the article goes on to say, the college student has made an investment in his education that has increased his expected future earnings by $1 million. Of course, the graduate hasn't earned that money yet, but that simply makes it an unrealized gain. And that is what Joe Biden wants to tax. If the government can tax other investments before their gains materialize, why can't it tax the graduate's increased income before it materializes? The tax bill there, by the way, would be around $150,000 for this college graduate who is already sitting on a huge bill because he borrowed for his education. And now the government wants to put another $150,000 tax bill on top of his unrealized gains. We have a caller, John. Thank you for joining.
Oh, Mike, how you doing today?
Yes, doing great.
Wait. Let me see. Can you hear me?
Yes, please. Go ahead, John.
Okay, because I can barely hear you. But anyway, my question is, because you were just mentioning the election, how are we going to have a bona fide legal election with what we witnessed this past election? So in 2022, vote for conservatives that want to support the Constitution. But we saw such a snafu with the election this past January. How is that going to take place?
John, that's a question. You raise a great point, and thank you for bringing that up. As we have seen in many states, that this last election in 2020 was a debacle. There's no doubt in any intelligent person's mind that fraud was involved, that it was involved at a huge, massive scale. And we're seeing the results of that, of the audits that have been performed out in Arizona. Other states are calling for audits, including Florida. There's a group, several groups called, one is called Defend Florida, which is demanding that we have an audit of the 2020 election here in Florida. You know, prevailing thought was that Trump won by like 3% in Florida. It's probably much larger than that because of the fraud that took place. So back to your point, John, you're saying how can we elect conservative constitutional Republicans when we know that those on the left are going to cheat? They've demonstrated it. It's widespread fraud. The thing is that we have to anyway, John. We have to go vote. If we just sit home and say, well, they're going to cheat, and so I'm not even going to go vote, then they won't even need to cheat at that point. They could just simply go ahead and elect who they want, and we see what a mess that has put us in, where we have the House of Representatives, a split Senate, and an insane person, completely incompetent, completely inept in the White House right now, his entire administration. So we cannot just sit at home. We have to go vote. We have to make them cheat to win. In the meantime, what we have to do is demand of our state representatives, our state senators, and our governor to make sure that you put measures in place to stop this election fraud. We have to stop what is going on. We have to stop this vote by mail. We have to stop this early voting. We have to stop all of this ballot harvesting that goes on, where one person gathers a bunch of ballots and turns them in. All of that needs to be stopped. I think what we need to do is have voting on election day in person, period. Unless you can demonstrate that, one, you're a military person who's deployed, or you are someone who is unable to vote because of physical reasons. Other than that, vote on election day, period. We have another caller on the line. Robert, thank you for joining the call. Yes, please, yeah. Go with your comment.
Yeah, Mike. Hey, my thing is, we got two people that would be running, Scott and Rubio, and neither one of them are worth it. They neither one of them. They're both going after red flag laws and all that for the Second Amendment. And then the other thing I got is they're floating this letter around that the Biden administration is going to be able to have the IRS notified anything if you got over $600 and if you, any transfers or anything. That's not true. I didn't call my bank. I took the letter that's floating around the internet to my bank, and my bank says they don't know anything about it.
Well, Robert, I have heard of that proposal also. Thank you for the call, Robert. If you do want to join the conversation, the number is 904-831-0917. Okay. Yeah, there has been a proposal floated around by Joe Biden, who said that he wants the banks to report to the IRS any transaction that is $600 or more. If you receive money or money leaves your account that's more than $600, it is to be reported to the IRS. So I know you took that to your bank and they didn't know anything about it. That proposal was floating around out there. The banks have pushed back on that, thank goodness. The American Banking Association, and I know there have been some individual banks who said they were not going to comply. So perhaps the Biden administration has stepped back from that. So when you took that to your bank and they said they never heard anything of it, it was going on. It was floating around out there. They just hadn't heard of it. Now, to your first point about we have in Florida, Senator Rubio and Senator Rick Scott, and you're saying, why on earth we want to vote them into office again? I agree that they have not been as conservative as we want them to be. As you say, both of them are sponsoring a federal red flag law bill. They want to see it passed at the federal level. Rick Scott signed it into law when he was governor here in Florida. But the red flag law, it tramples all over our Second Amendment rights to bear arms. The red flag law says that just on the basis of a suspicion, an accusation, someone else can accuse you of being a danger to yourself or to someone else, report that to the police. The police can then get a warrant from a judge who has never met you, who has never evaluated you, who all of a sudden is trying to act like he is a psychologist who has been evaluating you for years, and even though psychologists will tell you, after evaluating someone for years, they don't know what their future behavior is going to be. Nobody knows except you yourself. But here a judge is going to sign a warrant that says that you are a danger to yourself or someone else. The police will come to your home and they will confiscate your guns and your ammunition by force. And it has already happened here in Florida way too many times, over 5,000 times in a year. It has happened here in Florida. It's a travesty. And you're right. Senator Rubio and Senator Scott want to make that a federal law, trampling all over our U.S. Constitution, which says that the power belongs to the states and to the people. They spit on their oath of office, which says that they solemnly swear to protect and defend the Constitution. And here they are trampling on it. So, Robert, what do? We find someone to run against them. We find someone who is a constitutional conservative, someone who does hold Christian values near and dear to their heart, and run against them and get them out of office. Of course, that's easier said than done. But at the same time, we just cannot sit back and not fight. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in a time right now when there is a huge battle. It's a huge battle that's going on economically, spiritually, and we are seeing it right before our very eyes. And let me tell you this, it's a privilege to be living at this time, because we as U.S. citizens have the privilege to fight for this nation that is a gift from the living God. He gave it to us. It was built on the backs of our forefathers who built this great nation. And through God's grace and mercy and blessings, it has become the most powerful, the most benevolent, the most amazing nation that the world has ever seen. And now we have people who want to take it away from us, globalists who want to take this nation away from us, and they are willing to fight for it. We must be willing to fight for it too. Now, I'm not talking about shootouts or anything like that. Heaven forbid it would come to something like that. But right now, we must fight for this nation. And how we fight for it is to call out those politicians who are trying to do what they can to take this nation away from us, from the leftists, from the progressives, from Bernie Sanders to AOC to Maxine Waters to all of them. We have to fight against the tactics that they are trying to do. We have to stand up to them. And when it comes time to vote, you must make sure that you are electing conservative, constitutional, I'm going to throw in the word Christian candidates in the office. And I'm talking from the level of school board to city council, county commission, state senators and reps, and congressional. We must take this nation back. And again, it is a privilege to be living at this time and to be able to fight for it. You know, so many times I've read in the past of the great battle that went to secure this nation, our Revolutionary War. And here was Paul Revere, and here's James Madison, and George Washington, and John Adams, and all the others who fought for this nation. And as I read about it, I would say, oh, if I was there, I would have fought with them. Well, now we are there, and you're at a point to fight for it right now. Do not let this time pass you by, ladies and gentlemen. Don't just sit on your couch and watch that TV. This is a time to get involved and fight for this nation. If you would like to join the discussion, it's 904-831-0917. I'm sitting in, this is Mike Hill, sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. I was reading from an article titled, They're Coming for You, that is out of the American Institute for Economic Research, written by Anthony Davies in October 4th. The article goes on to say, what's really going on is that politicians see a coming fiscal storm, and they are desperate to find new sources of revenue before it hits. That's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. They know that this $5 trillion package that they are trying to spend right now, that it's a storm, a fiscal storm, and they are desperate to find new sources of revenue. We have Pastor Davis on the line. Pastor, please, thank you for joining the conversation.
Good morning, Congressman Hills. Thank you so much for taking my call and for the tremendous work that you are doing. In the absence of Dr. Youngblood, of course, we're all trying to support him as much as we can, especially in prayer at this time for him and his family, because this is a time that they really need prayer. And we're asking all the prayer warriors out there to continue to pray for them. But as a comment on to what you were saying about us fighting for our country, especially I want to say to the Christians at this time, are we going to miss our moment? I think this is our moment also as patriots and as Christians to stand up and fight for our country and do it through the power of God by letting God have his way, letting him do the works, to show his great works to the rest of the world through his people. That's us, the Christians. So we have to take a firm stand at this time in order to be a part of what God really wants to do in this world at this time, because we are living in a critical time where they're calling right wrong and wrong right. And God is anxious, I'm sure, to show his mighty power, but he needs an instrument in order to perform that through. And that's us, his people. So I want to say, Congressman Hill, for me, it's a great day to be saved. And I sure hope and pray that the rest of the Christian world will also be encouraged and stand up and be a part of what God is doing.
Amen, Pastor Davis. You are absolutely right. We must be a vehicle, a vessel, for God to work his way through us to see that we fight for this nation. You know, in Nehemiah 4:14, Nehemiah states, I observed what was happening around me, and I stood up, and I said to the princes and to the nobles and to all the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember your God, who is mighty and awesome, and fight for your sons, fight for your brothers, fight for your households, fight for your wives and daughters. Amen. That's exactly what we have to do. And in Nehemiah 4:20, it goes on to state, and this is the point you were making, Pastor Davis, God will fight for us. And he will. God is faithful. We call out to God, use me how you would. He is so faithful. Okay, the article goes on to say, the Congressional Budget Office estimates that by 2031, the federal debt will have reached almost $36 trillion. That is insane, ladies and gentlemen, $36 trillion. Historically, the Congressional Budget Office 10-year debt projections have underestimated future debt by more than a factor of two. If the CBO's current estimate is off by that same factor, the debt will actually be over $80 trillion by 2031. That's only 10 years from now, ladies and gentlemen. $80 trillion. That's equivalent to running a $5 trillion deficit each year over the next decade. While that sounds unbelievable, it's consistent with what we've seen in the past. Since the late 1960s, the federal debt has grown at an average annual rate of almost 9%. If the debt continues to grow at that historical average, by the end of the decade, it will be more than $65 trillion. That's equivalent to running a $3.5 trillion deficit each year over the next decade. For comparison, the federal government collected $3.4 trillion in taxes in 2020. Okay, so we're spending a deficit of $3.5 trillion, and the government only collected $3.4 trillion in taxes, which, by the way, is utterly amazing when you think about the tremendous wealth in this nation that our government can take from us, we the people, $3.4 trillion in 1 year. And here we are just struggling to get by, but we can function, and the government taking $3.5 trillion away from us. Federal spending is out of control. Politicians know it, and they know that they can't stop it right now. These same politicians have realized that raising taxes isn't enough. They need new sources of tax revenue that haven't existed before. Their first step is to institute new taxes on wealth and unrealized capital gains. Once established, their next step will be to expand those taxes to the middle class. A day of reckoning is coming. It's already here, actually. Politicians hope that we'll keep pointing fingers at the rich so we don't notice who the real culprits are. The real culprits are these politicians. These politicians who want to force you to get vaccinated against your will, who want to take money from you, your own hard-earned money that you worked hard for to earn. They want to take that away from you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in times right now where we must stand up to these politicians. We must stand up to this culture we have in America right now, as Pastor Davis said, where they are calling good evil and evil good. We must, as Christians, stand up to that. Be firm. God will fight for us. He is faithful. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. It was my honor sharing with you today, and I would encourage you to pray for Dr. Youngblood and his family. They need your prayers, and pray for this great nation. Pray for our leaders that God will intervene and give them the wisdom to make the right decisions. Have a blessed day.
Have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.